Been looking forward to this week for a long time. And that Baltimore game seems like forever ago. I think it's been over 250 days since we played and walked off the field. I obviously very dejected, you know, having finished the season with the losing streak that we did. And it was unfortunate just because of the good start that we had put together. But we got a chance to, you know, for all that to settle down after that game. When we looked at everything, we were very encouraged. Encouraged by what we accomplished, encouraged by the plan that we had moving forward, encouraged by knowing that we're going to have a lot more information heading into year two. You start your off season with a plan, particularly training camp, and we feel we accomplished. I always talk about crossing things off a list. We got a lot of things crossed off the list that we feel. Feel very good about. You know, I'm not going to sit here and ignore the some of the adversity that we face. But to me, that's part of sports. You're going to get knocked down. How do you respond when you get back up? So I feel we have a great plan in place moving forward. Because when other people see adversity, we view that as opportunity. So the players are very excited about this week. The coaches are very excited about this week. You can sense it in the building as well. It's been a long time coming. It's a great challenge for us to go on the road and play a team and a very competitive team in the Jets. You know, I've known Todd for a while. Very well respected in the league. You can already tell in the short time his team's been out there in the preseason that they're very organized, well coached. Defensively, I think we're very similar based on corner play. Being a very aggressive up front, diverse blitz packages. We very much have the same mentality as far as defensive football. In a lot of senses, it'll be like looking in a mirror. Chan Gailey, we've gone against him a bunch when I was in New York, and when he was at Buffalo, he puts a lot of stress on the defense, spreads it out, gets the ball to his playmakers, gets the ball out very quickly. They look to limit. Limit turnovers. He does a very good job of distributing the football. Special teams wise, Bobby April's been around for a long time. His units are always well prepared, and we certainly expect that. On the injury front, we're very encouraged by the progress our players are making. Duke and Pierre have both passed the next step in the protocol, so they will be out there practicing full today. It's good that, you know, basically all of our 53 are going to be able to participate in practice in some form or fashion. Justin Gilbert's the only one that we're just not sure about. It's going to depend on how he feels when he warms up. But for the moment, there will be some guys that are limited, and this will be Joe Thomas's normal off day because we'll be in pads tomorrow. But like I said, the 53 will all be out there participating, which is a good sign. On the Andy Mohler situation, everything about the incident is troubling. You know, the allegations, all the information that's available, it is disturbing. But however, we're not going to comment any further. It's an ongoing investigation. There's a process that we've established internally as to how we handle any conduct issue, and we're going to stick to it. So I'm not going to comment any further on that. Other than that, I'll go ahead and open it up.
Mike, I think I think most carries he had last year in the game was 17. Are you confident with the experience he has now that he's kind of the number one guy that he can handle even more than that this season?
We are that he made some strides from that standpoint. Just heading into year two, he got so few reps. If you think back to it, he was injured for most of the spring a year ago, and then got very, very limited reps during training camp. So just his volume has increased, and he's responded to it and handled it well. So you know, we're confident that he can be a lead back, but also know that it's very difficult. There are very few backs that are that guy that are going to touch it 20 plus times in a game. So but we feel good about where Crow is.
Where do you see the specific, Mike, in terms of the game day relative to the offensive line coaching change? What would Andy have done specifically?
It's just George DeLeon will come down from the booth and assume his role. Well, George, it's the same voice. George was up top with the same observation, so it's just he will be down on the field now to work with the linemen in between series.
Mike, can you clear up, is Dwayne Bowe third string? He is
according to the depth chart? Yeah. Let me walk you through how we do our depth chart. Pete types it up. He walks into my office. He says, how's it look? And sometimes I look at it, sometimes I don't, but it's usually a very cursory glance. I say it looks good. I don't put a lot of stock in depth charts. Neither should you. I know the league requires it. It is a very the NFL nowadays is very specialized. So there are some groupings where guys might be listed as fourth string on our. I don't even know if I have a copy. Here's our depth chart here. Guys that are going to start the game could potentially start the game that might be listed third or fourth. So I don't like I said, I don't put a lot into it. I don't. To me, there's no. It makes no sense for me to go into detail and list who I truly think our starting 11 is going to be. It's an exercise we have to go through.
Would you say he's the starting lineup, or should we wait for Sunday?
You can wait.
Mike, so have you seen Crowell make the improvements last year?
A lot of the little things. I think he's very much improved in protection. I think that's probably the biggest thing, and then also his route running and his ability as a receiver. There are times in practice. I mean, when you throw the ball to him, sometimes you cringe just because it doesn't look like the most. He doesn't look like the most natural hands catcher, but he doesn't drop the ball. So it's what it's we're in the get it done business. So he finds a way to catch it, and I think those are probably the two biggest areas that he has made strides. We feel much more comfortable throwing him the ball this year. And much more trusting of him in pass protection.
Can you play a game Sunday with two active running backs?
Will we play a game? I guess you could. Well, I mean, if we make transactions later in the week, that's potentially one to get a third back here or up.
Duke Johnson, now, since he's been cleared, do you have to baby him at all, or is he just as if this concussion never happened?
No, we'll I mean, today we're not in pads. He's not going to get hit today. It'll be essentially be all tag off, but he needs the work, the actual reps of playing. There's no other. He's fully cleared to go, but it's not a matter of having him to limit that way. When you come out of the concussion protocol, you're either cleared or you're not. He is. I mean, he got, coming off the day where he had his on Monday when he threw, there was some soreness, but that was natural. That was the most he had thrown, but it was expected, and you know, all signs point that he'll be good to go for Sunday.
Got to ask you about the prior number change. You said you didn't like the number 87 going under center. So now is he free to do that?
That was his personal preference. The players, if they want to request a number change, go through Brad. Brad will send me an email. As long as he's not taking a number from somebody else. But there was no positional versatility thinking behind that. He instituted the change. That did not come from the staff.
Coach, last year you showed the team a slideshow of Steelers and the history of all that before week one. Did you do anything special because you coached with the Jets?
No, because that's more of a – I mean, the Steelers thing, I mean, that was a Browns-Steelers. I mean, I'm a couple years removed now from New York. The staff that I was with there, Rex, there that most of that group's in Buffalo. So I didn't really see the carryover. We are very much focused on ourselves this week. That like in most weeks, we feel if we go out and play to our standards, the high standards that we've set for our guys, that we can be successful. So this week is very much the theme's been, hey, let's control what we can control, and that's how we coach and how we play.
As you've strived for improvement over areas of last season and first year, what case can you make that you improved the quarterback this year?
What case can we make? we're very confident in our quarterback room. We're very confident in our starter. That just based on what he's done on the practice field, what he's done in the meeting room, what he's done in his the preseason work that he's gotten, we're confident. I mean, I don't want to get into comparing it to a year ago, but Josh is a big part of our plan to win football games. But it's not just the quarterback. We have to be great around him to enable him to be successful.
And the question was in part based on a thought that you can make a kind of an almost tangible case that you're improved in every position area except quarterback, which is more of a question of if you look at Hoyer versus McCown.
That's a question we'll have to see answered.
Mike, what's your evaluation of Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Veteran, you can use the. I mean, he's a Harvard guy, so you know Rex used to joke and say, "Be careful, he's going to throw a book at you." Very smart decision maker. I mean, he gets the ball out just from a timing standpoint. He gets the ball out quicker than most quarterbacks do, and I think that's just in large part due to his ability to process that he can read defense as well and knows where to go with the football. He's decisive. But he's always been a guy that is just sneaky in the pocket. He can move. They do put him on the move a lot. There's a lot of move action type passes, sprint out, boot. And he's never been one who's been reluctant to pull the ball down and scramble, especially if he caught you in a coverage where you weren't accounting for the quarterback. So, and I believe, I don't know if it's true, but I don't think he's turned the ball over this preseason. So, as far as, you know, the situation, we all know the situation that occurred there, but I don't know if they could have had a more ideal situation to fall into as a result.
Hey, Mike, you talked in the beginning about how excited you are for this week, finally getting here. What does it do for a team then to win that opener? I know you want to win every game, of course, but when you get off to that 1-0 start, what does that do for you?
Well, because I think you put so much more into the opener because it's the first game. It's not like a normal game week where you have X number. You have your 6 days to prepare for it. I mean, we've had 200 and it'll be 257 or 8 days to prepare for this one. And knowing it's the whenever in April that we found out the schedule, that we've known it's them. We've had time to prepare for it. So that's why I just think there's so much more is put into it. The Jets game, the Jets game, the Jets game. You know, that's why you feel great about it when you win it, and it's just such disappointment because you've prepared so much for it when you lose.
Matt, one of these times we asked you about Duke, you said if he was cleared that he would have a role Sunday. How much less would that role be because of the time missed in training camp, maybe than what you guys envisioned heading into camp?
I think if he had gone out there and taken every rep we'd be a lot more confident about putting him out there for extended snaps, but I can't lie and say that that doesn't factor into it some. But if he's cleared to go and has puts a solid couple of days together here, there's no reason to think that he's not going to play a significant role in the game.
I don't know if you had time or even bothered to watch the Ohio State game, but when you see Braxton Miller make that switch so quickly, do you think that
Yeah, I had it on in the background while I was working. Caught some of it. Saw more highlights than anything else. But yeah, I mean, Terrell's here because he showed that promise and that potential. But again, I said it. Once you make the 53, that you have to be a productive member of the team. There's no. It's hard to just have that be a project for a year. So we are looking for the returns on that investment to be a little bit sooner than later. I think he's shown that he's capable of it, but it's for him, it's about being consistent, knowing what to do, being available from a physical standpoint, then going out there and executing. So he's going to get every opportunity in practice to do that. You're different types of players. We saw Leonard more as what we would consider our big end, plays more either head up on the tackle or shaded outside, whereas Danny is a true nose guard, either on the nose or shaded in either direction. So two very different players, but both were extremely high grades. I don't know how the draft board ended up playing out, but Williams was right near the top.
Hey, Mike, have you spoken with Andy Mohler since this happened?
I've already said I'm not going to comment any further on that.
Mike, can you tell us what you've done to help minimize the loss of Coach Mohler's influence and all the hard work that he's put in to the team?
Yeah, I mean, we met as an offensive staff and talked about how we were going to, absorb that, the workload, talk to the offensive linemen. And as I said before, we'll lean heavily on the leadership in that room, and that's one of the reasons that we're confident that we'll be able to overcome his loss.
And just got to ask, if everything about that situation is disturbing and troubling, why is he not fired?
I already said we have an internal protocol, and we are in the process of following it.
When you say internal protocol, is that just there's things set up? If something happens, this is ABCD, how do you follow?
Yes.